It is believed that the Celtic people were particularly connected with and attached to the Gospel of John. For instance, John's understanding of the incarnation is a beautiful job of showing that interrelatedness between the spiritual and the material. From the first chapter, starting on verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist, testified to him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. There's a verse from a song with these lyrics. "Don't throw the past away. You might need it some rainy day. Dreams can come true again when everything old is new again. Everything old is new again." It's from a 1974 song written by Peter Allen and Carol Bayer Sager. But the title comes from an even older popular saying that continues to prove itself time and time again. History often does seem to repeat itself. But it may be an odd thing for progressive Christianity to embrace, given its efforts to rescue Christianity from ingrained dogma of the past. We don't really want everything old to be new again. But strangely, however, if you go back far enough, especially before Christian doctrines and practices became thoroughly institutionalized and, worse, imperialized, you will find a wealth of theology and spirituality that progressives can indeed embrace. And that's been the experience of many, including several here at College Hill or part of our Celtic spirituality small group. When looking at the particular ancient Celtic influences on Christianity, it must be stated, however, that most historians now believe that no unified and identifiable entity entirely separate from mainstream of Western Roman Catholicism existed. In other words, there was not a Celtic church opposed to the Roman Catholic Church. Rather, simply being so far away from the power center of Rome and the direct influence of the popes, the isolated Christianity in the British Isles, especially in Ireland, once known as the edge of the known world, took on forms that incorporated some of the customs and practices and even beliefs of the local inhabitants, who were led by spiritual leaders called Druids. Now, the form of Christianity that started developing around the 4th through 8th centuries in Ireland, which it is very important to note was never part of the Roman Empire, was thought to be less authoritarian than its Roman-influenced counterpart. It was believed to be more connected and in tune with nature and the earth, more comfortable in dealing with pre-Christian traditions of its inhabitants, and friendlier toward women, who in turn had much more to say in church governance. Now, with that bit of background, what is it about the Celtic tradition, especially its approach to spirituality, the way people connect with God, that is resonating in such profound ways with so many people today, especially progressives? Let's start with an understanding of our basic humanity. Are human beings, you and I, inherently bad or inherently good? You know, when the Roman Church solidified its power and authority, It leaned heavily on the teachings of 4th century theologian St. Augustine. And one of the hallmarks of Augustine's theology was the concept of original sin. This doctrine is still highly influential in modern Christianity. And it was the theology of John Calvin during the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago in Central Europe. By the way, to whom we trace our roots as Presbyterians. Well, Augustine stated that the human child, a newborn, is born depraved, and humanity's sinful nature has been sexually transmitted from one generation to the next, stretching from Adam to the present. Augustine believed that from conception and birth, we lack the image of God until it is restored by the sacrament of baptism, conveniently a function of the church. This understanding developed a spirituality that accentuated a division between the church on one hand, which was seen as holy, and the life of the world, perceived as godless, on the other. Rejecting the doctrine of original sin, however, is not a modern phenomenon, for other theologians criticized it immediately and were then silenced. None was as influential as a British-born, also 4th century theologian named Pelagius. He maintained that the image of God can be seen in every newborn child, and that although obscured by sin, it does exist at the heart of every person, waiting to be released through the grace of God. The Celtic Church firmly believed that God is at the heart of all life and within all people. And this later developed into an understanding that we can look then to God's good creation, just as we look to scriptures to hear and receive the living word of God. It was once said that God can be revealed in two books, the book we call the Bible and the book of creation. As you've heard it described before in the term thin place, the Celtic understanding was that there was very little to no distance between the spiritual and the material. And when once asked, back in the late 1800s, "Where is heaven?" an elderly Irish woman responded, "About a foot and a half above our heads. It's that close." Celtic spirituality, therefore, can be characterized by seeking the sacred presence of the divine within all things. And the ancient church, based in Rome, however, felt threatened by this as an affront to their power and authority. And hence, they sought to squelch the Celtic influences. And they did a very effective job doing just that, as did the Protestant Reformation. In fact, after moving to Rome and defending his position, Pelagius was put on trial as a heretic. Of course, was found guilty. He was later excommunicated, most of his work being destroyed. Think now for a moment of the implications of the Celtic understanding of the relationship between God and humanity. Deeper than any wrong in us, deeper than our sinfulness, is the light of God. That divine spark of God's image that has been present in all things since the very beginning of creation. Theological concepts such as redemption, then, for example, can be understood in terms of a being set free. A releasing of what we already essentially are. Our goodness is sometimes so deeply buried to be lost or erased, but it is there nonetheless, having been planted by God, and it awaits its release. For Pelagius, The redemption that Christ brings is such a liberation, a freeing of the good that is in us, indeed at the very heart of life. Releasing what is fundamentally within each and every one of us is a monumentally different approach than what the church has traditionally taught, that our human nature basically has to be replaced from without. Celtic historian and former dean of the Iona Abbey in Scotland, John Philip Newell, explains it this way. In the early stream of Celtic spirituality, God's gift of grace is regarded not as planting something totally new in essentially bad soil, but as bringing out or releasing the goodness which is present in the soul of human life, but obstructed by evil. Grace is seen as enabling our nature to flourish, as co-operating with the light that is within every person. Thus, many of the Celtic prayers for grace ask for the development of aspects of our essential God-given nature. And those prayers for grace ask for the restoration of what is already at the core of our very being. Newell goes on to state in his 1999 book, The Book of Creation, An Introduction to Celtic Spirituality, the extent to which we fail to reflect the image of God in our lives is the extent to which we have become less than truly human. So I encourage you to look for the image of God that is deep within you, within your neighbor. And yes, that means within those with whom we seem to have nothing in common, theologically, politically, culturally, racially, whatever. This historical Celtic approach to spirituality should also inform our own practice of ministry and mission. A ministry that seeks to liberate and free the goodness of God that is already present in the heart of life. So our role of the church, therefore, becomes one of working to help liberate, rather than acting as the custodian of salvation, which in my opinion is steeped in spiritual arrogance and issues of power and control. And let us not forget that the opportunity to sense the sacred presence extends to all of God's creation. That is why there is such a strong bond with nature in the Celtic tradition. And not surprisingly, that strong bond is a basic characteristic of what most indigenous people's spirituality was all about, including Native American spirituality. So if I were to summarize the Celtic way of life and faith in a nutshell, it would be this. What is deepest within us, what is deepest within all things, is not opposed to God. Rather, it is of God. Understanding that a sacred presence is intricately and mysteriously interwoven into all of life and matter will transform your approach to life, to your relationships, our ministry efforts, to our stewardship, to evangelism, and to connecting with a very real sense of God's presence. So I encourage you to look for God's presence and grace among and within you as you go about every activity of your daily life, and especially those mundane, ordinary things that you do on a daily basis. Look for God's presence in the interconnectedness, the sacredness, and the beauty of all of creation. And look for it within different seasons of the year. Look for it within the different seasons of your life. And remember, or learn for the very first time, that creation does not come out of nothing. Creation comes out of God. God's grace, therefore, as we understand as expressed through Christ, is given to reconnect us with our nature, not to save us from our nature. For you carry the sacred presence deep within the core of your being. And we all do. That is the Celtic way. Amen.